Top of the day to you. I am Esther Davis in the beautiful city of Dallas, Texas. We want to start our show with saying hello and thank you and thanks for your service to all of our veterans. This is Memorial Day, and we're always grateful and we're always thankful for the service that's rendered by our first responders and our military and all of the people that make our life so comfortable and so worthy. In Dallas, we will be celebrating at the DFW Cemetery on Monday. So if you have time, wherever you are around the world, stop and say to a veteran, to a veteran's family, how much you appreciate the service. Very simple words, very little words, but they mean so much. Actually, members of my family served in the military, several cousins, several of my husband, served in the Korean War. So we are definitely a military, and we're definitely a grateful American family. All of the people that are having disasters around the world, and especially the flooding and the tornadoes in in the Carolinas and in Kansas City, we are praying for you. This show is actually about praying. This is called War Desk, and I am Esther Davis. I'm going to be joined in a little while by two of my partners. That would be Magna and, of course, Doug Burton. We have a special guest that's also going to join us today from Nigeria. This is Esther Davis, War Desk, Nigeria. But we talk about a lot of community issues, and these are all the communities across the globe. Wait, that's a nice jingle, isn't it? So I'm waiting for Doug Burton to log on with our special guest, and hopefully that would be Shayo. And we'll talk about prayer for the conflict zones. We will talk about how we can get you involved through awareness and prayer and connections in our global communities. The other thing that I want to quickly mention is school is out and our children are looking for jobs. So on Blog Talk, we talk about business. We talk about the jobs that our young people can get involved in. And that needs to be centered around a portion centered around community service. Community service in your communities. So I heard a little ding, which means we are being joined by someone. Good morning, is Esther Davis, War Desk, Nigeria.
This is Dr. Ajiboye.
Oh, Dr. Shayo.
Mm-hmm.
Did I get that correct?
Yes.
Well, good morning, sir. I am Esther Davis. I talked to you before, a month, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, about 3 weeks ago.
I am doing well. How was your trip?
It was great, heartbreaking, but great.
Now, tell me where you are right now. Are you back in Texas or you are in, where
yes,
are
yes,
you?
Yes, I'm back in Texas.
You're back in Texas.
Yes.
While we have a chance to talk, just give me an idea what your trip was like.
Okay, I will. Oh, I should give you now. Well, I was in the north. I was among our people. What we are talking about has increased the attacks.
Okay.
Good people are also doing a lot of stuff, you know, right in the middle of that negativity.
Right in the middle of the conflict zone.
Yes. We have people going in and just doing heroic stuff.
Heroic?
So, yeah.
Oh, now that makes my heart feel good.
So it's not all bad. And let me put an icing on the cake.
Okay.
The larger portion of those who are doing this heroic stuff. Would you believe this if I tell you? Are women.
Oh, women. Of course
yep.
they are.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Now, you're right. That is icing on the cake. I was just telling
you
my global audiences about...
Those women, I just doff my heart to them. They are holding the family together. They are humanitarian in their own way. You know, when
yes.
we talk about humanitarian, we immediately think U.S., Europe. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. We think ordinary women, villages. I mean, really, really ordinary women going
sure.
to be our neighbor's keeper and just doing the impossible.
And the impossible.
Yeah, that's what I witnessed. And I am so grateful to those women. They are the ray of hope in the midst of that very, very discouraging situation. And
now,
guess
how
what?
Many countries, how many states did you visit while you were in Africa? Because you know you're going to have to educate.
I went to Nigeria, basically, so I can talk about countries. Mm-hmm. But you know, Nigeria is a pretty large space, very large country.
Yes,
so
I
was
Adamawa. I have studied that.
Yeah, I was in Adamawa State. I was in Gombe State. I was in Plateau State. I was in Bauchi State,
mm-hmm.
and then I crossed. I was in Abuja, and then from there I left and I went to the south, and I was in Osun State. I was in Odo State, and the state in the south. You know, we talk about the north. The thing that is happening in Nigeria, we are waiting, we are sitting on a bomb is about to explode.
Ooh,
because
okay.
exactly
so they're constantly under harm's, in harm's way.
Hugely in harm's way. I mean, the day I left Nigeria, I traveled north to Abuja. A few of my friends traveled south to Lagos.
To Lagos, okay.
Yeah. And between Osun State and Lagos State, right in the heart of Osun State, that is supposed to be one of the most secure states in the Federation because
mm-hmm.
of its location.
Do you think it is one of the most secure states in the Federation?
My friends were nearly kidnapped.
Oh, okay.
Right on the public freeway. And the people that came after them, they were definitely kidnapped, including a professor of pediatrics, I think another professor of psychiatry. Right in broad daylight, they were kidnapped, and they had to buy their freedom back.
Dr. Shayo, hold that point. Someone else has joined us on Blog Talk. I am Esther Davis with War Desk Nigeria, and with my special guest is Dr. Shayo, who's president of the Redeemer's Bible College Seminary in the great state of Texas, who has joined us, and good morning.
Hello, everybody. Doug Burton with Washington. Sorry to be late on the call, but hello, Dr. Shayo. Been listening
hello,
to you.
Hello, sir.
You. We're so honored to have Dr. Shayo Ajiboye, who is a theologian, but as he probably has already explained to you, he operates a network, a humanitarian foundation in Nigeria called Mission Foundation, called Mission Africa, and he also has a marvelous reporting network that we have used to report on terrorism in Nigeria.
Us about his trip. We had started with this trip while we were waiting for you to join us, and
well,
he was giving me an accounting of where he has been the last 3 weeks because we missed him.
Dr. Shayo, please continue. I'm standing back.
You were telling me about the women that were being so instrumental and so courageous in this conflict area.
Yes. The women, amazing. Right now, as I'm talking to you, they are again out in the field. Just doing, like I said earlier on, the impossible. The little we can do is to support and to encourage them.
Yes.
So how do we support? We are there for them to talk to us, if that means anything. And I think it means a lot to them. So I get calls in the middle of the night. Oh, doctor, they are attacking again. Oh, they are attacking this location. And you would actually be hearing gunshot in the background.
Oh.
Yes, as they are talking. And these women are right there. And they are giving you information. It still happened this week when Madagali, Sabongeri, Gubla, Iambula, Duhu, Lasa, Shuwan, Belay, when those communities were attacked, right from the heart of the crisis, we had women who were organizing children and moving them into safety.
Women that are organizing children.
Yes.
Doug Burton,
I'm moving them
this is what you
safety.
Have been talking to us about.
Yes, ma'am. So
Doug, are you there?
I'm here. I'm listening. Yes, thank you very much.
So this is what is going on there. You know, I mean, sometimes I just feel like stepping aside and seeing the side. We do our own bit, but we do not light a candle beside this woman. I mean, that's my own analysis of the situation. You know, just amazing. And they don't, it's not like they have huge resources, but the little resource they have, they so optimize it and they so use it in ways. Their leader, for instance, I know for a fact, live in an uncompleted building because she has been targeted by Boko Haram, so she cannot live in a house again. She had to move out. And she lives right now essentially she lives in the open with her family. But it's in a safe area. So it's better to be safe than sorry, right?
Exactly.
You know?
Yes,
so,
it is. And we are so honored that you would join us because Doug has been sharing with us almost on a daily basis some of the phone calls that we are receiving and what is actually going on. But it's also rewarding to hear firsthand accounting because you just left the conflict area and made it safely back home. So we're grateful for that.
I thank God for that privilege of making it safely back home. When you go into those areas, you just have to hold your heart, you know, almost in your hand till you come out.
That is an encouraging story for other people around the world. And the reason I say that is because that means we need to get involved and to see what it is that we can do as humanitarians, as people around the world, to curtail it, to stop it. Can we get help in there? Can we get troops? Can we get a special envoy? I mean, there's so many things that can be done with everybody's prayer and everybody's help. And I'm just echoing something that Doug has been talking about for the last couple of weeks, because we are talking twice a week, and we're talking about Nigeria, and we want something done about it. Am I correct about that, Doug?
Totally right, Esther. Thank you very much. Dr. Shayo, since you recently returned, I'm sorry I missed hearing the day you did return, but what can you tell us about the Boko Haram attacks in the eastern part of Nigeria in the state of Adamawa? Because as you reported a couple of days ago, there were reportedly seven towns near Madagali or in the neighborhood of Maiduguri or Madagali that have been attacked by the terrorists known as Boko Haram. And I've been calling overseas to my Roman Catholic friends, and they said there's no media coverage of it, and they're concerned about it, but they confirmed that those attacks have been happening in Shua, Reverend Father Peter John Wumbadi said that the day before yesterday in Shua, there were burials for four people, including one policeman in Shua. What can you tell us about these attacks?
I was specifically with the Bishop of Adamawa, Bishop Dami Mamza. That's another man that is that's like Mother Teresa. I mean, feeding 17,000 people a day for nearly 5 years. Right now, today, at least 1,000 internally displaced people will feed at the cathedral. I met them. They were there. I was among them. At least 1,000 people that have been chased away from there. And this man is doing this ever so quietly, using the resources of his diocese. His name is Bishop Stephen Dami Mamza, an amazing, humble Catholic bishop. I honor him greatly this morning. But specifically concerning Lasa Shoa Duhu, Dailei, Madagali, Sabungari Gubla, Ihambola, when the attack was going on, my leader, the leader of my team in Adamawa, was right in the middle of it. So, and she called me, and you could hear women screaming in the background. You could hear gunshot and commotion in the background, you know. So this is not a theory. And of recent, the national media in Nigeria finally agreed that an attack occurred in Shua. And so on and so forth. Yes.
Yes.
You know, it took them so many days, but at least they got there, you know. So this is part of the challenge we've been facing, and it's so frustrating. Those who are doing the attacking have essentially harnessed the narrative, and they are not allowing it to get out. As you very well know, they are very well healed. They are supported by the government. They have untold amounts of money. And these women and the people that they are attacking have no voice. You essentially are their voice, Douglas.
Well, and, we're grateful that you said
my
that.
Sister, and
we
my
are
sister,
great, so
Esther. You are their voice. They have no voice. But these other people on the other side, they have been empowered by the government of Nigeria, giving them untold amount. Okay, in this same sector, the government is sending new equipment for the military. But what my people tell me from the ground is that the military essentially is handing over this equipment to Boko Haram. So, essentially, they drive the equipment, armored personnel, carrier, fighters, they drive it into the war zone, and then they abandon it. And then Boko Haram just walk up and pick it up and go to you. It is heartbreaking. I got on authority from a highly placed military person that Boko Haram and the Fulani herdsmen, not Boko Haram, the Fulani herdsmen specifically now has an air wing. They now have aeroplane that they are using to supply the front line. So we are not dealing again with a ragtag group of Islamists. We are dealing with a group that is becoming more and more organized every day, a group that is mesticizing. And it is becoming, you know, I don't want to use the word, but it is near hopeless. You know, I mean, I have always been on the side of let's not abandon the land. But after the Shua thing, my friends, I had to talk to my friends and say, look, how do we evacuate the people? We cannot just leave the people out there. And, you know, these people just come in and they just wipe them off.
Yes, we cannot do that.
Dr. Shayo, are the attacking people, the terrorists, are they Boko Haram or are they Fulani herdsmen?
In the Adamawa sector, undoubtedly they are Boko Haram. In the Zamfara, the northwest sector, they are Fulani herdsmen. In the northwest and the south, they are Fulanis. They are Fulani militants. But in the Adamawa sector, they are Kanuri, Shua, Boko Haram, that have made an alliance with Islamic and with ISIS in West Africa, Islam.
Now, you've raised an issue that we'd love to discuss today briefly, and you would be the best person to explain it. About 2 weeks ago, former Nigerian President Obasanjo said that we have to deal frankly and candidly with the issue of Islamization and Fulanization. And then he got a second from Nobel laureate Wole Soyinka, who said something very similar. He said, yes, there is Fulanization going on. And just yesterday, there was an article in Nigerian Lawyer in which, again, these terms, Fulanization and Islamization, were linked. Can you tell us what does Fulani mean and what does Fulanization mean?
Well, I definitely can tell you a little bit about that. I don't know. Let me try to summarize it as quickly as possible. The second but one time that I was in Nigeria, not this time, the last time, I was in Zamfara State. Now, Zamfara State is a Fulani state that is at the heart of a Fulani herdsman problem. And I sat down with a Fulani lawyer, and he said to me, Shayo, if we continue telling ourselves that this is not about 1804, he said, we are naive and we shall all be destroyed. Now, what happened in 1804? 1804 was when Othman Damfodio launched his jihad that turned that whole region into an Islamic caliphate. So essentially what he was saying was that the Othman Damfodio came in from Futa Jalon area, essentially from Guinea, the Republic of Guinea right now. But when he got, as an Islamic scholar, the Fulani people, this is the pattern over the years. So they come in, they are very personable people. I wish I can describe them well for you. They're very lovely people when they are not fighting you.
When they're not fighting.
I grew up with some of them. They were on my father's land. And I can tell you right now that yesterday, or day before yesterday, my eldest brother sent to me and said, Shayo, I don't know when you come to Nigeria, because I don't tell anybody when I'm going into Nigeria. So they know, because of security. I don't broadcast my itinerary, you know. But my eldest brother sent a message to me and said, Shayo, we are not sure when you will come to Nigeria. But if you come to Nigeria and you don't tell us, don't go to our father's land, because the Fulanis have taken over.
So
I cannot go to my father's estate right now.
I need to take a moment, gentlemen, and please and identify our program and who we are. And I am Esther Davis in Dallas, Texas, with Doug Burden in Washington, D.C., and our special guest is Dr. Shayo, president of the Redeemer's Bible College Seminary in outside of Dallas, Texas. And we're talking about the war desk, Nigeria, and we're talking about the conflict zone in Africa. Dr. Shayo is giving us a firsthand accounting, an eyewitness accounting of his visit the last 3 weeks, and he is now back in the States, and we are listening to him talk to us and educate us and encourage us to stay vigilant on this situation in our world. Dr. Shayo, we have about, I'm going to order another 10 minutes, and we're going to listen to you and Doug, because this is so important to us. And to have you on is just a real blessing. I don't know if Magna is listening to us or if she will join us at all, but we have a third component to War Desk, and that is Magna Faith. So if we can give you another 7 or 8 minutes, because we want to take the time and listen to you. And, of course, we are going to invite you back. Is that right, Doug Burton?
We would like to have Dr. Shayo Ajibwe come back many times. Absolutely.
Okay. So please continue, sir.
Dr. Shayo, let's explain to us who the Fulani people are, because some of our listeners might not know that Fulani is an ethnicity in Africa, one of the very biggest. And according to my sources, there's 38 million people in Africa in about 10 or 12 different countries who belong to the Fulani ethnicity. And this tribal group also includes the president of Nigeria, Muhammadu Buhari, and his chief opponent, Atiku Abubakar, as well as thousands of respected scientists and teachers and theologians and priests, I'm sure. So tell us, why is there a Fulani problem, and why is there something called Fulanization in this country?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, to talk about, and I was laying a foundation. And I will quickly go into this because of time. The Fulani people, they are in all the countries in which they are, actually 21 countries, from Guinea, from Mauritania to Eritrea, 21 countries of Africa. There is no country in which they are majority. In every country in which they are nomadic transhumance minority. But what defines, and when we talk about origin, some people have said that the Fulanis are from the Berber people in North Africa who moved down into West Africa, and from West Africa spread across into East Africa and Central Africa. Now, the unique thing about the Fulanis is their amazing multi-generational commitment to Islam. The Fulani man, every other thing pales in his commitment to Islam. So from about 700 AD, according to the data that I have, till today, actually, the Fulanis have been the core units spreading Islam. In Nigeria alone, they established two major caliphates. Everybody talks about Sankoto Caliphate, but most people have forgotten that Adamu Modibo was also started a caliphate in Yola today, the city I just came from. The state Yola is called Adamawa, which translated means the land of Adamu Modibo. He started a caliphate there, and you know, and so on and so forth. The ones in Cameroon, the ones in Chad, the ones in Sudan, all by Fulani people. This amazing commitment is still here today. And our President Muhammadu Buhari has been known to be an Islamist. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. This is a multi-generational proposition. A lot of us had hope that he has changed when he came. He was contesting the first time, because we know his antecedents, but we were ready to give him the benefit of the doubt. But history has proven us wrong. And this is a classical Fulani oppression. Otman Damfodio did exactly the same thing. Coming, pure man against corruption, you know, nice as a peg, holy, and so on and so forth. But once they have enough power, they turn against you, they destroy the local system, and they take over power in the name of Islam. And, you know, the same thing happened among my people in Yorubaland. The border of Yorubaland is called Ilorin State. It was led by a dynasty called Afonja. The man Afonja was nice to the Fulani, invited them in, treated them well. The day they had enough strength, they executed him and took over the community. Up till today, the children of Afonja cannot be leaders in that community. They cannot. They are personal non grata in that community. I'm talking of what happened in the 17th century that is still operating in the 21st century. But we live in a Western world. We live in a Western world that does not deal in historical reality. These people, the Fulanis, they don't forget. The Fulani, they don't forget. I was with a group of Fulani young people this last week. The ones that have seen Jesus and they have turned away from Islam. I was with them. And they were telling me that that people will use everything to Islamize a region. The Fulanis were saying that. So we have relationship with the Fulanis. And the Fulanis themselves are telling us this is the way that we are socialized. We are socialized from birth that we must never stop trying to combat. The former, one of the founding fathers of Nigeria, Ahmadu Bello, the grandson of Otman Damfodio, he said at independence that the space, the contraption, I'm quoting him, the contraption called Nigeria is the estate of our grandfather, Otman Damfodio, and we cannot rest until we turn it into an Islamic reality. This was in 1960.
Dr. Shayo, yes. You have more information than we can ever absorb in 40 minutes. We're going to ask you to come back. We're going to ask that you join us on Tuesday and Thursday, and as often as you possibly can. But for this session of Blog Talk with War Desk, we're going to have to end it and digest what you have said. But it has been recorded, and that is the beautiful part. It will be on Internet for as long as we want it to stay up there. That's the beauty of Blog Talk Radio. Doug, if we would give us a final word, we would appreciate it. We have been recording now, and this is Esther Davis on Blog Talk, for about 40 minutes with Dr. Shayo, and he is coming back.
Thank you, Esther. This has been very informative. Thank you, Dr. Shayo Ajibuye, for giving us a perspective from a subject expert. We are extremely concerned about the alliance between the United States and West African countries, especially with Nigeria, because this is the wealthiest country and the most populous country in Africa. And whatever happens in Nigeria, it has implications and ramifications for a dozen countries in the region. So we can say about Nigeria that what happens there doesn't stay there. If there's a problem with a humanitarian crisis, that crisis is going to come to other countries and eventually to this country.
Exactly.
So we're wanting to remediate this as soon as possible, and we thank you for your contribution. By the way, we should mention also that you're one of the foremost spokesmen and leaders of the new group, which we encourage our listeners to join, which is called Save the Persecuted Christians. You can find them on the internet, savethepersecutedchristians.com. And those of you who would like to give us news tips, as Dr. Shayo has, about what's happening in Nigeria, our email address is wardesknews@gmail.com. That's wardesknews@gmail.com. And we have a Facebook page that is updated daily with headlines from Nigeria.
Exactly.
Thank you, Esther.
Thank you, Doug. Huge news. And thank you, Dr. Shayo. And we'll see you next time on Blog Talk Radio, War Desk, Nigeria. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless.